Nvidia giant is in talks with the Federal Trade Commission over a settlement that would force Facebook to create the privacy panel. The FTC has been investigating Facebook since a privacy breach allowed the data of millions of users to be given to Cambridge Analytica. And as part of that agreement, the CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, would be personally accountable for the handling of the company's privacy policies. The company is also expected to pay a fine of as much as $5 billion because of the issue. A Chinese family caught up in the college admission cheating scandal reportedly paid millions to get their daughter into Stanford. Reports are Yuzi Zhao, who also goes by the name Molly, was admitted to the Northern California school in the spring of 2017, and the family from Beijing paid $6.5 million to a Newport Beach businessman to get that child into the university. The businessman's pleaded guilty to the charges, along with parents and coaches entangled in the controversy, though this Chinese family has not yet been formally charged. And some new laws and rules in effect at Disney parks effective today. They're banning smoking, wagons, and oversized strollers at both Walt Disney World and Disneyland. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
On today's program, the world has conspired to piss me off, so I'll be ranting for a while on the mischaracterization of nurses, the candy-ass way the New York Yankees and Philadelphia Flyers have mishandled the Kate Smith debacle, and what one local businessman is doing about it, and I'll have a commentary on the recent school and synagogue shootings now that one has hit close to home for me. It's Thursday, May 2nd, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Hunterdon County and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, a brief check of the weather shows that it's currently 67 degrees at 12:05. And right now, it's going to be partly cloudy today with scattered thunderstorms throughout the afternoon, a high of 79 and a low of 51. And for tomorrow, it'll be cloudy with a high of 62. Rain moves in the evening with a low of 55. Rain possible at times throughout the night. For Saturday, it's going to be cloudy with a slight chance of a rain shower during the day, a high of 75 and a low of 53. And Sunday, rain throughout the day, a high of 58 and a low of 46. The check of the current financial markets is all indices are down. The Dow down 225.24 to 26,204.90. NASDAQ is down 57.30 to 79.92.34. S&P 500 down 20.06 to 29.03.67. Oil is down $2.29 per barrel to $61.31 per barrel. And gold down $13.30 to $1,270.70 an ounce. All right. Well, if you're listening to the program, chances are that you are doing so near a computer, you are on a cellular device, on an iPad or something like that, able to stream via the internet. So if you're able to do that, we would ask at this time that you open up another URL and open up Facebook. Look up the show's Facebook page called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot and like and follow that page so that you'll be able to keep track of all the goings on here at the program. And then if there's any updates midweek, something that may affect business here in New Jersey or on a nationwide scale, we'll post it there first, just so that you're able to stay ahead of what everybody's doing in the marketplace. Don't want anybody being left behind. So we'll make sure that we keep everything up to date there, and hopefully you'll be able to follow along as well. The business quote of the week this week comes to us. It's brought to us by Crown Trophy of Flemington, and it comes to us, and I always try to bring in either a quote from a sports celebrity, a politician, a world leader, a religious figure, anybody who might have some insight that I think we can all benefit from. And this time I've gone way back. This gentleman, when he was playing ice hockey, was my hero. I modeled my style of play as a goaltender after him, and it's Bernie Parent of the Philadelphia Flyers, who had won two Stanley Cups back in the early 1970s. Recently, Bernie, last fall, was in a terrible car accident. Him and his wife were traveling in their car when they were hit by a drunk driver, and as a result, he had to undergo back surgery. It'll be at least 2 months before he can drive a car, 2 months before he can even start physical therapy. But Bernie's quote, I think, applies to everything in business and in life when he said, focus on the outcome, not the obstacle. And so many times in business, I think we look at the obstacle in front of us. What is holding us back from getting to the finish line? And focusing on the outcome, where we want to be, will help us create different ways of getting there. There's not always a straight path. Sometimes you have to go around the wall, through the trees, in order to find where you want to be. But focusing on the outcome, not the obstacle. If you focus on the obstacle, a lot of times you'll find that it prevents you from looking for a good solution. So on my Facebook page today, talking all week with people, I said that I've had enough. The world has conspired to piss me off, and I'm going to go on a bit of a rant. And I wanted to do two of these rants last week, but we were interviewing Jeff Shapiro, and I didn't think it was appropriate in a show dedicated to him and his business to do this. But this is something I've been sitting on for 2 weeks, and it's just absolutely driving me nuts. Back in April, a state senator from Washington, her name is Maureen Walsh, she's a Republican, she made remarks on the Senate floor on April 16th while denouncing a bill that would allow nurses to get mandatory uninterrupted meal and rest breaks. She said she opposed the legislation because it does not apply to districts like hers with many critical access hospitals, which have fewer than 25 beds. She says, I understand helping with employees and making sure we have rest breaks, said Ms. Walsh, who voted against the bill. But what she also suggested was that nurses probably play cards for a considerable amount of the day. As soon as I heard this, the anger meter went through the roof. Now, I have many friends who are nurses. I have, Jen down in Georgia, Teresa in Florida, several other friends who are nurses, a great nursing staff here at Hunterdon Medical Center and Somerset Medical Center as well. And I don't think I've ever seen a nurse playing cards while on duty. And yet when they take a second to eat a sandwich, even go to the bathroom, very often they're interrupted. It's almost like being on an airplane when you hear that call button go off. You know, how many times have you been in a hospital and you hear somebody screaming? You know, they're not yelling doctor, they're yelling nurse. You know, so there's never an opportunity where these nurses have time to take care of their patients, monitor their paperwork, and have a few minutes to themselves for either a quick break or to have their lunch or dinner or something uninterrupted. Many of my friends have told me they sit down, they heat up their lunch or their dinner, and then within 5 minutes they're being interrupted. And that interruption could be 2 minutes, it could be 2 hours. And by the time they come back, you know, the food is wasted. How ignorant is it of Ms. Walsh, the state senator from Washington, to make a statement like that? Even if it's off the top of your head, off the cuff, you know, you got to think before you speak, people. And now it comes back to what I've always said on this show. If you say it, you own it. And I'll tell you what, she owns it in a big way. A lot of nurses across the country have been mailing this state senator decks of playing cards. What a great protest. I would suggest that anybody who supports nurses do the exact same thing. Send this lady a deck of cards, maybe take one out just so she can't use them. But, you know, it just, it drives me nuts that anybody would find fault with the nursing profession. And there's another story that's going to follow this that really tipped the scales for me. And understand it, and you think about the nurses that have ever cared for you in a hospital, in a doctor's office. You know, they're not sitting around putting the Red Queen on the Black King. They're working their asses off. And very often in a hospital setting, they are so inundated with paperwork. Every pill that's dispensed to you has to be recorded. The time, all the vital statistics, you know, every ounce of care that comes to you through them has to be done. Who does the initial patient workup? The nurses do. The physician's assistants do. All right? And they get all that done, all the vital signs, chief complaints, et cetera, so they can report it to the doctors, and then the doctor can determine what's the best level of care. What's going to happen? This patient needs an IV. Doctor's not setting it up. A nurse is. This patient needs medicine. Guess what? You know, it's going to be given by a nurse. So let's stop picking on nurses for a few weeks, months, years, forever, and put the blame where it really belongs. Yes, nurses need uninterrupted breaks. It's a chance for them to catch their breath. It's a chance for them to do their paperwork if they want to do it there. It's just a chance. Have everybody else in the work world gets an uninterrupted break. Why can't they? And then my favorite, you know, dummy of all, Elizabeth Warren, says that doctors and nurses don't treat Black women the same way as they do other women. Now, I posted this on Facebook the other day and got a pretty good response. Some people agreed with her, that were both white and Black. One Black gentleman said, unfortunately, it's true that he has seen it the same way. Another gentleman who is Black says, I've never seen it where the standard of care was any different. Now, I've worked on rescue squads. I've had to treat all types of patients, Indian, Black, white. It didn't matter what their skin color was. When you're in med school, when you're in EMT training courses, paramedic school, they don't say, if it's a white patient, treat them like this. If it's a Black patient, treat them like this. If it's a yellow patient, treat them like this. It doesn't matter. It's treat the cause, always. And it never mattered to me what the color of the skin was. Whatever the injury was, whatever the ailment was, that's what we were there to treat. And they got the same level of care. I'm still doing vital signs. I'm still, you know, making sure that I'm doing as much research as I can on this patient's condition. How, if they're unconscious, what brought them there? How did they get to that point? Were they sick before? Have they been eating? It doesn't matter. Male, female, Black, white, does not matter. The standard of care is always the same. And I would challenge Elizabeth Warren that for most in the profession, it's true. Now, I can't speak to everybody. I can't say it's universal. But to make a blanket statement that all doctors, all nurses don't treat Black women the same is highly irresponsible. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is a woman who wants to be your president. Be careful what you vote for. When we come back, a bigger rant on this Ranting Thursday about the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia Flyers and how they have mishandled a legendary performer in Kate Smith. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business. And working overtime will help.
The incomparable Kate Smith with God Bless America. And if you haven't been paying attention, what is happening is pretty much a character assassination on her. The New York Yankees announced a few weeks ago that they would no longer play Kate Smith's version of God Bless America during the seventh inning stretch, followed the next day by the Philadelphia Flyers. And what prompted this was a gentleman had found a recording that was made in 1931 by Kate Smith, and we'll get into all of the titles in a minute, that by today's standards you would say was racist. But at the time, it was considered a parody song about slavery, about blacks, and it was called Why Darkies Were Born. And then there was another one called Pickaninny Heaven. What you have to understand about the recording industry back then was you were an employee of the label. If the label came to you with a song, you sang it. And she did. In her whole discography, Kate Smith has over 3,000 songs recorded, and these two are the ones that someone latched onto to say she's a racist. Kate Smith won, or was awarded, rather, the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Ronald Reagan back in 1982. Anybody who thinks there wasn't a very significant vetting process involved, going over her discography, going over her work, to bestow that award on her is an absolute fool. So the knee-jerk reaction by the Yankees and the Flyers to do away with the playing of this song really struck a chord with me. Here's why. First of all, a few years ago, there was a movement afoot across the nation to make God Bless America the national anthem, because they said that the true national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, didn't really represent the country today, but that God Bless America did. Kate Smith was a unique American, a cultural phenomenon, and she combined wholesome entertainment with patriotism and love of country. She first recorded God Bless America in 1939 and turned that song into a patriotic anthem that has inspired generations of America. Now, if you don't want to play that during the seventh inning stretch, and by all means, the Yankees have had many other people sing the song, including Ronan Tynan and others who would come in and sing God Bless America. But for a long time, they were playing Kate Smith's version. And everybody, whether you were a Yankee fan or Red Sox fan, in that moment, you all became one, united in patriotism with God Bless America. The Flyers have a different story and a different relationship with Kate Smith. The Flyers used to bring out God Bless America by Kate Smith when they needed a win. And at one point early in the series, she was like 42-0, you know, if they either played the recorded version or if she would come out and sing it live. The Flyers and their fans love Kate Smith so much that they erected a statue that stood in front of the old Philadelphia Spectrum. It had since been moved but is nearby across from Lincoln Financial Field. Now, when the Yankees decided we're not going to play it because of this controversy, the Flyers not only came out and said they're not going to play it, but within 24 hours removed the statue of Kate Smith from where it had stood since, I think, 1989. And I want to thank my friend Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5, who's really been the champion of this story in trying to get both the Flyers and the Yankees to reverse their ways. Now it's almost a matter of saving face. They've taken down the statue. They've said we're not going to play it. And yet they're kind of stuck because all the fans are sitting there saying it's not that big a deal. We need to bring the statue back. Steve Califer, the owner of Flemington Car and Truck Country, wrote this letter to Mr. Dave Scott, who's the chairman of the Philadelphia Flyers, back on April 25th. He said, "Dear Mr. Scott, please find my enclosed check for $10,000 for the purchase of the discredited Kate Smith statue. The terms of purchase are simple. Please redirect my payment to the social justice charity of your choice, and please make available for pickup Ms. Smith's statue. Please advise if these terms are acceptable to you. Thank you for your consideration. Very truly yours, Steve Califer." Now, what Mr. Califer has offered to do is to place in a very prominent location Kate Smith's statue at TD Bank Ballpark, the home of the Somerset Patriots that he owns. What a great move, and I applaud Steve Califer for doing that. A class act, a gentleman that I enjoyed working for when I was with the Patriots, and who has taught me so much about, you know, business and life, that hopefully the Flyers, if they don't bring the statue back, would sell it to Mr. Califer so that it could be prominently and rightfully displayed somewhere. And then the Patriots did, in fact, play God Bless America on opening night at the ballpark back on April 26th. What's left out of all of these stories about Kate Smith is how much work she did in promoting this country, how much work she did in promoting African-American performers. Keep in mind that the one song, Why Darkies Were Born, again, a parody song, was also recorded and performed several times by Paul Robeson, a black performer, an African-American performer. It was done as a parody. He knew it, yet performed it. She knew it, regretted it, but performed it. Now, let's talk about what Kate did in the 30s and 40s. She had several television shows. And what she would do is bring on black performers to introduce them to others who might not normally do, you know, visit or want to see a black performer. She performed at the Apollo Theater. You don't perform at the Apollo Theater if you're a white racist. They're not going to invite you in there. She did so much to bring, to elevate, if you will, the black African-American performer into the mainstream of society. You probably wouldn't have a Chuck Berry. You wouldn't have a Fats Domino had it not been for somebody like Kate Smith being the trailblazer and bringing their music to the masses. What did she do for the country? Again, God Bless America, one of the greatest songs ever performed, and at one time being considered for to become the new national anthem of the United States. Kate Smith traveled hundreds of thousands of miles entertaining the troops and helped raise, and at the time, you have to understand what this was, there was a bond issue back during the war. And, you know, you would buy bonds, and they were called war bonds, and that would raise money for the defense of the country. Kate Smith is responsible, through her recordings, through her visits, through her performances, for raising over $600 million in war bonds. And again, without that money, you can't buy bombs, you can't build tanks, you can't build planes. So I think if anybody had a reason to be celebrated, it would be Kate Smith. And again, I'm sure all of this was vetted out by President Reagan's team when they announced her as a recipient of the Medal of Freedom. So I'm not sure what can be done on the part of the Yankees. You know, you're in a very difficult spot, and the Flyers too. On one hand, you're saying she's a racist, and on the other hand, the fans are saying, we want her back. I can tell you this, and many fans have said this in various online forums. I will not attend a Yankees game. I will not, and I am a diehard Flyers fan. I will not attend a Flyers game until this situation is rectified in Kate's favor. If somebody were to show me proof that she was a racist, then so be it. She denounced the Ku Klux Klan. She denounced anybody. She denounced segregation. And yet here we are, some 80 years later, arguing over a recording that in its day would not have been considered racist. If you want to look at this, then the Flyers and the Yankees shouldn't accept any dollar bills with Washington or Jefferson or Monroe or Adams or anybody else on it, because they were all slave owners. And I believe Adams had some 600 slaves and even fathered children with one of them. But here we are saying it's okay, they can be put on our money, but you can't sing a song and 80 years later have it come back and haunt you. I have a problem with this. If you were to go through history, anybody who was celebrated at some point in time, I'm sure, would come off as being racist in one way or another. It could be Christopher Columbus. It could be Marco Polo. It could be any explorer. And I'm willing to bet that it, depending on how you interpreted the Bible, that people would find that Jesus was racist somehow. The PC police have to back off. And we have to understand that some things that were accepted 100 years ago, and were probably still wrong then, it happened 80 years ago. If it happened today, obviously I would stand up here and say, this is wrong, we have to do better. But to bring shame to the legacy that is Kate Smith, a patriot, a human rights activist, a person who was against racism and segregation throughout her career and helped many performers get to a point that others would have never had the opportunity to do, is shameful, both on the part of the Yankees and the Flyers. And their candy-ass moves have to be reversed immediately. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It looks like Attorney General William Barr is not going to show up to testify at today's House committee hearing. In a statement, a Justice Department spokesman says Barr will skip the hearing because of plans to have committee staffers question him. The department calls that inappropriate, unnecessary, and unprecedented. Meanwhile, at a Senate hearing yesterday, some Democrats were accusing Barr of lying and protecting President Trump rather than acting as an attorney general. Democratic Congresswoman Mazie Hirono.
Being Attorney General of the United States is a sacred trust. You have betrayed that trust. America deserves better. You should resign.
Republican chairman of that panel, Lindsey Graham, accused Hirono of slandering Barr. In his testimony, Barr stood by the way he's handled the final report from Special Counsel Robert Mueller. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Restore your vehicle's lost power by cleaning your entire fuel system with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Right now, buy one bottle, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Keep your engine clean and improve performance with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Buy one, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Flip your space with a beautiful new floor from Lumber Liquidators. This week, get easy-to-install laminate in best-selling styles like Tobacco Road Acacia and Antique Farmhouse Hickory 20% off. Or get the exotic look of Silverstone Bamboo for 20% off. Don't want a DIY? We can arrange the installation for you. Plus, get special financing so you can get started today. Sale ends Tuesday at Lumber Liquidators. Beautiful floors for less.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. What else?
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join me on this Thursday. And taking a bit of a departure away from normal programming, I will have one story a little later that affects most businesses here in New Jersey. But so many things have been happening over the last 2 or 3 weeks that I felt it important to discuss here on the program. The first was the those who pick on the nursing professions, Elizabeth Warren and the state senator from Washington, who are mischaracterizing nurses. I think they deserve more respect than they're being offered by people in positions of authority. The second being the banning of Kate Smith's God Bless America from the New York Yankees seventh inning stretch and from Philadelphia Flyers games. The next topic really hits home for me. Now, anybody who knows me knows that when I'm working, I'm wearing a Crown Trophy shirt. And today I'm wearing a different shirt. This is a UNC Charlotte 49ers shirt. This week, on Tuesday, there was a shooting at the University of North Carolina Charlotte campus. Two people were killed, four people injured. The reason I wear this shirt, the reason I even have this shirt, is that my younger son, Colin, attended UNC Charlotte in his freshman year. And I have always loved that campus. Now, Colin has since transferred onto Rutgers. He'll be graduating on May 19th. But he would have been a senior this year at UNC Charlotte. And I would tell you that if your children ever wanted a more beautiful campus, I don't think you can find it. The UNC Charlotte campus is absolutely beautiful. The facilities are top-notch. I actually sat in on a class there one time, a criminal justice class, and was blown away by the professors, the guest speaker who was in the class that day. Just absolutely blew me away with their knowledge and their ability to teach. And I wish that I had teachers like that. And on any college campus these days, I would go back just for the food, because the food service on any college campus is phenomenal. But talking about school shootings for a minute, is when this came across that there was another school shooting, first thing in my head was, please don't let it be Rutgers. Please don't let it be UNC Charlotte. I still follow UNC Charlotte. When Colin was there, it was the first year of a new football program. So I've always wanted them to succeed. And again, a campus setting like that, you just don't anticipate that you're going to hear or see about a campus shooting. So there was a former student named Tristan Terrell who targeted one building in particular called the Kennedy Building. So they know that he had some classes in there or something like that. And then he did go in. This was the last day of classes. The kids were getting ready to go to the football stadium for a free concert by a rapper when the emergency alert system came out that said very succinctly, run, hide, fight. Active shooter situation in the Kennedy building. Secure yourself immediately. There was one student, his name is, hold on a minute. I'll get to that in just a second. But there was one student who actually took it upon himself to knock down the shooter. And by doing so, probably saved hundreds of lives as a result. I'm having a hard time finding that particular kid's name. But he was killed in the shooting as well. His family described him as that's the type of kid he was, that he would do anything. He was everybody's protector, and he would do anything. And here he was just a few weeks or a few days away from graduation. The problem with school shootings, and my son, who is a criminal justice major, said it very succinctly, that we have to stop glamorizing the school shootings. When we put the picture of the shooter on the evening news, when we say their names over and over, we're kind of like breeding the next attack. Whether because of mental illness someone's looking for that notoriety, or, you know, they feel their life isn't worth it anymore, they're going to go out in a hail of bullets. Whatever the case is, let's not glamorize this. Let's not over-publicize it to the point where, people, feel like that's something that they can do as well. You also have the shooting last week at the Jewish temple in California. And I'm not sure why people in this state, and many people have said this is not a gun issue, this is a mental health issue, and it may very well be. But the person who did the shooting in the synagogue had posted 5 hours earlier a manifesto, if you will, of why he was going to carry out his actions. 5 hours. And when we talk about Facebook and Instagram and all these other platforms doing this security monitoring, nobody could come up with this. Nobody could read that post and call 911 and say, I think we have a problem. I don't know where, but you need to secure every synagogue because it was very, hate-related towards Jewish people. A woman came into my store yesterday looking very down, and she was ordering something. And I said, what's going on? And she goes, well, I'm very upset. She goes, I'm Jewish, and I'm very upset about the shootings. And we talked for a little bit about it, and she goes, I really feel like we're going back in time where the hatred against Jews and the lack of respect, in effect, for mankind is taking over. And she goes, and I really don't want to go back there. And I totally understood where she was coming from and what she meant by that. And I think, so that's why I don't have a problem when I see on the news that there's an increased security presence in front of churches and synagogues. In Texas, there's a measure currently going through the state Senate that the governor has said he will sign into law that will allow teachers to carry firearms, a concealed carry permit for teachers. There are arguments on both sides of that fence as to why that is either a good or bad thing. I'm totally in favor of it. And I think that I'm also in favor of, if you had to, hiring retired military, retired police, arming them and letting them sit, at a school. Because I guarantee you that if you put an armed service member in full battle fatigues with an AK-47 standing at the front door, anybody is going to think twice before they try to harm those kids. I don't think we're going to be able to stop it entirely. But if we could reduce the frequency, if we could reduce the number of victims, I think that would be a good start. I think we have to go back early, kindergarten and even earlier, and reinforcing the need to teach tolerance of everybody, of humans, whether it be Jewish, Christian, Muslim, it doesn't matter. When I went to Morocco a few weeks ago, I took a tour with a gentleman. He was Muslim. He introduced himself as Muslim. His driver was also Muslim. And, he took us around the city of Morocco, and he would explain the temples. And there was a very unique thing on the top of Muslim temples, I believe they were like three globes, One represented Christianity, one represented Judaism, and one represented Muslims. But they were all together and living in peace and harmony. I just looked at him and I said, wouldn't that be something if we could actually live like that? And he smiled. He said, that would be tremendous. But it's, we're not there. And so I think what we have to do is start early, you know, teaching kids that it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter what your faith is. I think we all have to preach and teach tolerance that, you know, again, we can't teach hatred for any religion. The kid who shot up the synagogue last week, at 19 years old, accomplished pianist, accomplished swimmer, nice looking kid on the outside, you would never think was a problem, but had such a horrible hatred of Jewish people. Where does that come from? Is that taught at home? Is that something that he researched online? What brought him to that point where he decided that he was going to take matters into his own hands and create that shooting? I don't know all the facts and statistics about the University of North Carolina shooting, but I do know that there was some history. So whether it was a disgruntled student with a professor situation, we're not really sure. But ultimately, I think when you're at the dinner table tonight, you may want to talk to your kids. You may want to talk to your family members and see if a couple things. What are their feelings towards others, whether it's religious-based, skin color-based, socioeconomic-based, I don't care what it is, whatever the differences are, what brings them to say that one person is better than another, one religion is better than another, or anything to that nature. And then also ask them, are there anybody in their classes who has talked about doing harm to others? It's almost cliche-like to hear that sentence, if you see something, say something. If you hear something, say something. But I think in this day and age, we all need to be on guard, and that we should, you know, tell our kids that, A, we'll protect them, we'll stand behind them. But if there's an opportunity for you to, I would rather be wrong and say that I heard something or I read something than be right and never said a word and then have a tragedy like this happen. So hopefully through education, through family meetings, we'll be able to teach some tolerance and get kids and adults to put the hatred down. And I think it starts both at a very young age and by what people see. There is such a divide in this country right now with everything from Republicans versus Democrats, Trump haters, Trump lovers. It doesn't matter. This is our country. We are one people, and we need to be able to live, work, and play together with the knowledge that we can do so safely. I wait for that day. I hope that it comes. I really do. I don't know that it will, but it pains me every time I turn on the evening news and the lead story is another shooting somewhere that doesn't have to happen. And if you are one who is considering taking that action, I would ask you and beg you to please think about it and explain to me what you hope to gain by killing innocent people. What is the advantage? What's the end game for you when you kill innocent people? Virginia Tech, over 30 people killed. The Aurora Theater shooting, 12 people killed. The Las Vegas massacre, 58 people killed. What was gained? I don't see any gain in any of these shootings for the shooter. You're going to jail or you're going to die. So where is the win? And if there is no win, maybe take it out in the woods, harm yourself, but don't harm innocent people. There's no sense in that, and I can't make any sense of it. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt & Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt & Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business, you lucky dog, right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of this program, as I have been for the last 7.5 years, and loving every minute of it. Glad we could get together every week to talk about issues that affect folks here in Flemington and on the national scene as well. Wanted to touch base with you on something. There's been a lot of talk lately about what's happening in Flemington. You know, the Courthouse Square project was approved. And then, you know, we get a new mayor, and then all of a sudden people are saying a new study has to be done and all this. People have been asking me left and right, what's happening, what's happening, what's happening. I said, I don't really know. I don't know that any of us actually know what's going on. The developer has 7 years to do that project. But when you think about it, that would put us 17 years since the, you know, the restaurant portion of the Union Hotel closed. I was looking through some papers the other night, and I was interviewed by the Courier News. When I first opened my business back in 2009, and it was about the business expo that the Chamber of Commerce puts on. And the question was, everybody else seems to say that the town is dead. It's, you know, the Union Hotel was a blight on the community. They asked for my opinion. What did I think? And I said, I don't see it as such. I don't see it as being a blight. I think that it needs to be redeveloped. 10 years ago, I said this. And that the town would survive and thrive if it did. And it's a shame because people were describing Flemington 10 years ago as a ghost town. The Union Hotel as a blight. It's only gotten worse. Yesterday I had a young couple come in to the store. They're getting married. They bought a house here in Flemington in the borough. And when we were talking, I said, you know, so what made you pick Flemington and things like that? We were talking about the different restaurants, and the young man said to me, when they looked at this town, they saw a lot of potential, a lot of opportunity, and a lot of promise. I think it would be great if we could deliver all three of those to this young couple and to the people who have been living here and dealing with this for the last 10 years and longer. Earlier today, it was announced that New Jersey has enacted legislation, Assembly Bill 15, that's going to raise the state's minimum wage in several stages. The general minimum wage, with limited exceptions, the minimum wage will increase as follows: $10 an hour July 1st of this year, $11 an hour January 1st of 2020, then a $1 increase every year after that until we get to $15 per hour on January 1st, 2024. Beginning January 1st of 2025, the minimum wage rate will be adjusted for inflation. Now, there's a thing called the training wage. The law also permits employers to pay a training wage of 90% of the general minimum wage to an employee who is enrolled in on-the-job or other training that meets standards set by the state. The training wage may be paid for the first 120 hours of work in an occupation which the employee has no previous, similar, or related experience. In tipped employees, this is very interesting for those working in restaurants. Assembly Bill 15 also increases the amount of direct cash wages that tipped employees must receive. From July 1st of 2019 till December 31st, the minimum cash wage will be $2.63. From January 1st, 2020 to December 31st, 2020, the minimum cash wage is $3.13. From January 1, 2021 until December of that year, it's $4.13. And from January 1st, 2022 to December 31st, 2024, the minimum cash wage would be $5.13. What does that mean? Get ready to pay more for your food at restaurants. Thereafter, the minimum cash wage will increase with the inflation-adjusted minimum wage. If the employee's direct cash wages and tips don't equal or exceed the applicable minimum wage, the employer has to make up the difference. Interesting take there. If you're making $5.13 and you work an 8-hour shift and it's supposed to be $15 an hour when you get to 2024, so 15 times 8, do the math, be about $120. So if you're doing $5.13 times 8, you're at around $41, $42. If your wages and tips don't equal that $120, the employer is going to have to make up the difference. So the $15 minimum wage just became a little bit higher for the employer. Small employers and seasonal employees are affected a little differently. The schedule for minimum wage increases is different for employees of small employers and employees who are engaged in seasonal work. Under the law, a small employer is defined as an employer with less than 6 employees for most calendar work weeks in the current calendar year, and fewer than 6 employees for every working day during at least a 48 calendar work week in the preceding calendar year. With the exception of tipped employees, the minimum wage rate for employees of small employers and employees who are engaged in seasonal employment will be as follows: $10.30 per hour on January 1, 2020, $11.10 on January 1, 2021, $11.90 on 22, $12.70 in 2023, $13.50 in 2024, and $14.30 on January 1st, 2025, going to $15 per hour on January 1st, 2026. Now, the minimum wage will be adjusted in 2027-2028. These employees will equal the general minimum wage. There's also a different minimum wage rate schedule for employees who perform labor on a farm. New Jersey employers, you must pay all non-exempt employees at least the minimum wage and post a wage and hour law abstract poster reflecting the new minimum wage. Once published by the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, the updated poster will be available for download in the state and federal resources section of H.R. 411. So a lot of changes coming to the minimum wage. It's now law. And now you also have a couple of caveats on how it's going to work. But as of July 1st, 2019, we're only 2 months away from that, all of your minimum wage employees will have to be paid $10 per hour. By the end of the year, that will bump up to $11. The one I think that's going to be impacted the most is those that have tipped employees. Again, if you have a slow night and the employee shows up for 8 hours, and by law they would be at $120 on the night with the minimum wage, how then do you make up that difference? You know, let's say they only get $40 or $50 in tips, or $30 or $40 short. Now the employer has to make that up. I think it's going to have a very damaging effect on restaurants. We shall see, you know, how that's going to impact those businesses as well. In sports, in the NBA, the playoffs continue. Round 2 of the NHL playoffs have begun. In NASCAR news, Chase Elliott won at Talladega last weekend in the Geico 500, which meant that the siren at the Dawsonville Pool Hall blared out once again. This week, the teams head to Dover, Delaware for the Dover 400. That's at Sunday at 2 p.m. Major League Baseball continues its regular season, and this Saturday is the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby. Place your bets. All right. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And for more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. At this time every week, I always play Taking Care of Business as the outro. I'm going to do that again this week, followed by Kate Smith's God Bless America. New York Yankees, Philadelphia Flyers, get your acts together and get her back performing that song as quickly as you can. Make it a productive week, everybody.
Listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump speaks on this National Day of Prayer.
People are so proud to be using that beautiful word, God, and they're using the word God again, and they're not hiding from it, and they're not being told to take it down, and they're not saying we can't honor God. In God we trust. So important. A little thing on the campaign, but it wasn't such a little thing to me when I first started 4 years ago. Haven't been doing this so long. We did a good job. But when I first started campaigning, people were not allowed or, in some cases, foolishly ashamed to be using on stores, Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas. They'd say Happy Holidays.
On Thursday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi accused Attorney General Bill Barr of lying to lawmakers on Capitol Hill. This is USA Radio News.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, Play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
The government is going to require manufacturers of certain sleep aids to put warnings on the boxes and patient guides. Dr. Golham Matademi of MediStar Georgetown Medical Center tells NBC News there are certain things that people do that are very dangerous when taking sleep aids.
Interestingly, somehow, patients won't have any recollection of the events because they are not really back to their conscious state.
Ignoring pressure from some to cut interest rates, the Fed decides to take another path. USA Radio Network's Wendy King reports.
The Federal Reserve left its key interest rate unchanged.